Now, the small but highly acclaimed Early Doors Productions have as diverse a back catalogue as any local theatre group, with Around the World in 80 Days, The Philadelphia Story and Trainspotting being amongst their very extensive back catalogue. They're keeping up that reputation with their next one. To tell us about it, I'm joined by four members of Early Doors, Justin, Bill, Lionel and Amy, good morning to you guys.
Morning. Thanks for having us.
They also did 39 Steps and Dracula, which I was
I know they
which
did.
Which Lionel's personal favourite.
Just wanted to add that.
Actually, yeah, those two were amongst the best.
Yeah. I was in those.
Well, hello, Alan. How are you?
I'm absolutely fine, Amy. It's great to see you. It seems like sort of 5 minutes since you were last in, but you must.
Oh, I know.
You are such incredibly busy people. Anyway, I haven't even mentioned throughout the morning I've been talking about you guys coming in, but I haven't mentioned what it is you are putting on. So do reveal all now.
We are putting on an originally written version of Alice in Wonderland called Wonderland.
So it's just called simply
just
Wonderland. Because the original wasn't actually Alice in Wonderland. It was it a wonderful advent? No, what is it? I don't know. It's the full title of Alice in Wonderland?
Alice's Adventures in Wonderland.
That was it. Well done, Justin. But so you've shortened it even more. Now, I would guess that you're not putting on an authentic, fully traditional performance. Is that right?
It's authentic to a point. I mean, everybody knows the characters. We've still embodied a lot of those because the characters are fantastic. And the journey she has where she reaches Wonderland and meets those people is still the basis of the through story that we're trying to present. But what we wanted to do, we just wanted to make it a bit more real. I mean, it's a very, very clever story. And even though it was written for children and was so popular, has never been out of publication since it got published originally. It just has so many dark elements that are actually far more appealing to adults. And we wanted to send something across to adults about, is it a dream? Is it real? Can we actually relate to these characters in a real life sense?
It's very, very clever, isn't it? It's one of those things, as you say, it appeals on different levels to the kids and to the grown-ups as well. And so you're looking to sort of bias that more towards the adult audience.
Yeah, that's right. And it's so popular. I mean, the amount of films that come out about it, and especially this year with it being the 150th anniversary, it's just popping up everywhere, especially over London. They've got quite a few exhibitions going on.
Also, it's quite apposite that.
Which was interesting because, in our ignorance, we didn't actually know the anniversary was this year, and we'd already made the decision to do this last year. And then we were like, "Oh, Wonderland's really prolific this year. What's happening?" And it turned out that actually everyone's making a big deal of it this year, so we were quite lucky to get on the train.
You're directing, aren't you, Amy?
I am.
You're not actually appearing in this performance. But Justin, Lionel, Bill, you are all, you've all got parts in it. And maybe just each of you describe who you're playing, but also briefly describe your character and how maybe in any way it differs from Lewis Carroll's or not. Lionel, start with you. Who are you?
Me, right, I'm the Cheshire Cat.
I thought you probably were. When you walked up to the studio this morning, I thought, yeah, I know
who that is. It was because he was on all fours, wasn't it?
Crawling along.
There's a saucer of milk in the corner of the studio for you.
I'm playing the Cheshire Cat, and it's a fantastic role to play, actually. He's a very... compared to the rest of the characters in it, there's something slightly different about him. And he kind of... I suppose, really, in a way, it's very similar to the classic role of the Cheshire Cat, and he's kind of a guide, an advisor to Alice as she goes on her journey.
So he's a good character.
Yes. I would say
yes. I would say yes
because he is a guide. Obviously you've got to come and see it to see how he actually is. You could, when you first meet him, you might be slightly unsure of him, I think, because of there's certain riddles and stuff that he says, and it depends on how you interpret those riddles as to what path you would take in Wonderland. But he's certainly someone who's got this aura about him, this cat-like aura about him.
Justin.
Yes, sir.
You are...
I'm playing the Mad Hatter.
the Mad Hatter. Describe the character of the Mad Hatter.
Always mad. Well, he's... I mean, our version is that time in Wonderland has been stopped or ceased, and people are stuck in this bubble. And as such, because he's constantly repeating things, it's made him lose his marbles. And so I think they've still got a consciousness, and in that he's all the way through this, where they say where the time's gone, but they're, so they're repeating stuff. So I think he's just got his thought on revenge, and as such it sends him over the edge.
Well, with that, Bill, let's bring you in.
I'm playing one of the baddies, and like any of these good classical stories, it revolves around always having lots of baddies. There's three in particular in this particular one. Two of them are working for the Red Queen. That's Knave, the Knave, and myself, the Pig Lady. So, yes, I will be playing a lady.
But you do it so wonderfully, Bill.
Think of this character as probably some of your worst ever baddies, all rolled into one. She is hideous.
I bet
horrible.
You love playing that
they
character,
are the best parts. Lip-smackingly good parts. May I say lip-smackingly for a reason? Because she likes baking. And I'm not going to tell you what sort of thing she bakes. That will be left for the imagination.
You are.
There's all sorts of background there. A great character. There's some. She has a hankin' for a baby as well, so it's all there in the pot. It's a lovely part to play.
Great stuff. Who actually cast this, Amy? Did you were you responsible for the casting?
Yeah, I would say.
Thought you might have been.
Well, more often than not, it's my decision, but we do talk it out, don't we, Jay? We do, and then Jay suggests something, and I say, no, that's a terrible idea, babes. And then,
yeah. I mean, we're lucky that we have some of the best actors in the area in it, and we're very lucky that they seem to want to work with us.
Have you got any new actors with you this time?
We have, yeah. We've got a fella called Matt Dewson who is getting married tomorrow with Rachel, who is our Alice.
So, they've been a little bit busy. Yeah. Bless them.
But yeah, he's very much a new face in this.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, Alice, Rachel Wood, she was with us for Cuckoo's Nest, which was quite a while ago, and it was only a small part. So when I asked her to be Alice, I was overjoyed that she accepted it, bearing in mind the performances a couple of weeks after her wedding. Bless
Excellent
her.
Stuff. But, it's actually quite a large cast compared with a lot of the things you put on, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So quite a challenge there, I guess. Look, we need to take a break. Plenty more to talk about. And you've got a little taster for us as well. We've also got some music coming up because it is a bit of a, not exactly a musical, but there is music involved, isn't there? You can tell us more about that in just a moment.
Phoenix FM. Set your love
It's Phoenix FM. Alan Johnson with you with the Feel Good Saturday until 12 o'clock. Steve, Aaron and Nigel are quite a team on Between the Lines. They'll be here after the news. But at the moment, I'm chatting with Amy, Justin, Lionel and Bill from Early Doors Productions about their forthcoming performance next month at the Cranbourne Theatre in Chelmsford of Wonderland. Now, Amy, that was quite a familiar voice in that piece of music. What have we just been listening to?
We were just listening to one of the tracks that Lady Grey and the Owls put together, which was called To the Bone.
And that's your band, because you
it
are...
It is, yeah, mine and Justin's band.
Multi-talented people, all of you, but you've got the band. I don't know how you fit one of those things in, actually performing in a band and putting on these productions, but you are incredibly busy people. So what's the relevance of that to Wonderland? I said earlier that this isn't actually a musical. I mean, obviously Lewis Carroll's original wasn't a musical
that's
as
right.
such, and you're not putting on a musical, but music does feature in it.
It does. It plays quite a big part, actually. As we were just discussing, we always have quite a strong soundtrack in all of our productions, because we like to make our productions as film-like as possible, so they have that sort of quality to them. And now we had this original piece, we just thought surely it makes sense that we have original music as well. Fortunately, the band were on board, so we got about five or six tracks together, and as the plays developed, the tracks have actually become like an extra character, where occasionally they'll pop out of the scene and take you somewhere else. So, yeah, the music's definitely playing a big role at the moment.
Brilliant. Now, describing your characters earlier on, one thing that sort of strikes me is costumes. Normally, you're very, very clever with your use of costumes and sets and things. You keep it simple, but very, very descriptive. How are you approaching this one? Because obviously the characters are a little bit different by nature.
Yeah, we wanted to definitely push the boundaries with costume for this one. And even though a lot of the people are playing animals as opposed to humans, we wanted them to have the animal quality, but more in their physicality than what they actually look like. Now, they will have elements of that animal, for example, perhaps ears, perhaps a tail, but their dress sense is as if that character has become humanized, for example. But it's still been a huge challenge. There's been a lot of different contact lenses being ordered and wigs. It's going to be very strange, but the makeup's going to play a big part.
Right, I remember with, I think it was Around the World in 80 Days you did 2 or 3 years ago. Was there an elephant in it, I think?
Yeah, that's right.
Was that you, Justin?
Yeah, sorry. Yes, we did.
I forgot about the elephant. He must be up in the loft.
He's up in the loft, yeah.
That was so clever the way you did that. So I'm sure you've been equally imaginative this time. Are there any sort of particular challenges from an acting point of view, would you say, with Wonderland? Bill?
There are, yes. I mean, obviously, you've got to get the characters absolutely spot on, I think, absolutely right. And even more so, go, you know, well into them and just bring out... if you're playing an animal, you've just got to bring out the bits and pieces of that particular animal. If it's a cat, you know, you've got to remember to maybe the way you walk. And there's some background noise there, which is what I'm trying to get. Or a pig, like myself. So, yeah, there are challenges, but they're good challenges.
I mean, what we've been very lucky with is... because we do work, or we try to work, with the best of the best. We've got an awfully strong cast for this. But what's been great for us is they all have a very open mind. I mean, this play is not a normal play, and
never are with you.
They've all been very keen to get on board with delivering what needs to be delivered to make this show believable. So yeah, we've been very fortunate.
And from a director's point of view, you're quite pleased, are you?
Yes.
Great. Are there any challenges from your point of view directing something like this? Or does every single play differ?
Yeah, I would say every play has a different challenge. And you know us, we try and break the boundaries every time. We try and make it as contrasting as possible with the last show. And funny enough, the show we're doing after Wonderland is the one we wanted to do now, but we couldn't get the rights for it. So we knew this being our 10th show, we wanted to do something that set the milestone. That's why we decided to.
And I guess with the 150th anniversary of
that's right, yep, seemed Amazon like the right time well. To do it. But with this one, it's interesting, actually, because the shows that I've directed in the past, I desperately try not to see other people's versions of it, because I like to have my own opinion for various reasons. You might see something that you really want that you can't do, or you might just form a different opinion from what you already have. So I thought an original piece would be no different, because I wasn't expecting anything other than what was in my head. But actually, until the characters took those, the actors took those characters and developed them, I couldn't see in my head what I actually wanted this piece to be. So it's been quite slow in the development, but it's been a really interesting journey.
Justin, you have quite an input, I think, into sort of researching productions or possible things that you can put on. So you've already got next year's performance lined up. Amy was saying that there were some problems with the issues with getting the rights, but you presumably overcome those.
Well, quite often it's simply a case that because it's 1984, and so the play was up in London anyway. So when you go to apply for the rights, if quite often the company, I'm not too sure who's holding the rights, but they will pull them, so an amateur society cannot do it.
Okay.
And then I've got a feeling Bill might be able to say properly, but I think about 3 months back it left London, and so the rights kind of become available, but then it was such a popular show, it's now come back to London. But as soon as you've been given those rights,
they can't take them away. Yeah. So we were really lucky. There's a very small window to gain those rights. It may have been as small as 2 weeks, and we were fortunate enough to get them, and now it's back in London, and we're still doing it, so that's good.
Brilliant. So that's coming up next year. But we haven't actually said when Wonderland is.
Wonderland is September 10th, 11th and 12th at 7:30, the Cramphorn Theatre.
Which is nice and comfortable.
Yeah.
Nice and dry, and lots of parking around.
We're never going to let that go.
We're going to milk that one. People will be wondering what we're talking about. It was Dracula a couple of years ago. It was rather wet, and some of us tried to get there and got rather muddy and never actually made it. But never mind. We move on from these things. Look, we do need to wind it down. But you normally have something lined up for us just to give us even more of a taster.
We do, yeah. It's just a little short extract, it's a bit of an advert for the show, but hopefully you'll hear some of the characters' voices coming through. So if that's okay, we'll do that.
Brilliant. Take it away.
Okay. Do you think you know Wonderland?
Who are you?
There is no wonder.
I don't like you.
Think you know Alice?
No, the Hatter. I have heads.
No wonder, no wonder.
I'm pretty wonderful.
Do you think Wonderland is a real place made of dreams or nightmares?
I would like to bake her. She'd go nice with rabbit.
It's all a game. Silly as all we have.
A place with no time.
Time.
I control time.
Now, Luton, if I could turn back time, I would. You know that, don't you?
When someone holds time in their power, how does anyone else have any control?
A place with no reality.
It's not a dream. It never was.
I think I'll go and find that knave.
Wonderland.
Puzzling, isn't it?
Time.
Off with your head.
Absolutely fantastic. That really does tempt me to come along. I'm sure it will lots of other people as well. Amy, Justin, Lionel and Bill, thank you very, very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Phoenix FM.